Blog Talk Radio.
We're gonna stand around this town and let what others say come true. We're just good for nothing, they all figure. A boy's grown up, shiftless chicken. Now we can't hardly stand for that. Or is that really where it's at? We people who are darker than blue. This ain't no time for segregating. I'm talking about brown and yellow too. Hi, yellow girl, can you tell? You're just the surface of our dark, deep well. If your mind could really see, you'd know your color is the same as me. Pardon me, brother, as you stand in your glory. I know you won't mind if I tell the whole story.
Who are darker than blue.
us hang around this town and let whatever say come true. We're just good for nothing, they all figure. A boy's grown up shifts jigger. Now we can't hardly stand the band. Or is that really where it's at? Pardon me, brother, while you stand in your glory. I know you won't mind if I tell the whole story. Pardon me, brother, I know we've come a long, long way. But let us not be so satisfied, for tomorrow can be an even brighter day.
Good evening, everybody, and welcome to Delicious Talk, Bringing Sexy Back. That's Curtis Mayfield. The title of that song, We People Who Are Darker Than Blue. And, you know, that's going to go with tonight's topic. I hope everybody's having a beautiful Wednesday evening. I certainly am. My weekend was beautiful, and we lost one of our great blues singers this Saturday, Bobby Blue Bland. So we're going to have a moment in silence for him. Okay, and this Sunday's Gail's Blues joint is going to be dedicated to Bobby Blue Bland. So if you're a fan of Bobby Blue Bland, and even if you're not a fan of Bobby Blue Bland, stop by Gail's Blues joint Sunday at 7 p.m. because we generally have a good time over there. At least I do, and I hope I'm entertaining the listeners as well. Tonight's topic, help me, my skin is black. What? I'm going to bring in my co-host is in. I almost forgot that. Good evening, ladies. How are you?
Good evening. I'm well, thank you.
Hello. I was so busy talking till I said, well, wow, let me bring them in. I almost forgot you, girl. Sorry about that. But are you ready for tonight's topic?
As always.
I think it's interesting.
Yes, it's very interesting because, you know, it's just, you've been just hearing so much about, especially in the black race, you know, because we're different colors. We're a rainbow of colors. We're light, we're dark, we're purple. You know, we're just a rainbow, a color of people. But we also have that division in there where one, you know, because if you're darker, you know, you look on as being bad, and, you know, I'm going to read what the word black was defined in the little dictionary that I looked up, and I'm also going to read what the word white, how they define the word white in the dictionary. Okay, black, very dark, swarthy, dark in color or complexion, dark skin, of or relating to a various groups of dark-skinned people, a relationship to the African-American people or their culture, soiled, dirty, lacking light, gloomy. Okay, those are only a few of the ways that they describe the color black. White, free from color, of the color of the new snow or milk, especially of the color white, light or paled in color, silver, almost made of silver, a relation to or being a member of a group or race characterized by light-colored skin, free from spot or blemishes, pure, innocent, blank white space in printed matte paper, not intended to create harm or something like that. But just see the difference in how they describe black and white. Black is gloomy, dirty, lacking color, and, you know, it's just get a bad description, period, you know, if you're black. or dark, or like it has stated, relating to the African American people or the culture. Now that's something new, because how long? You know, first we start off as being, think colored people, then it went from colored people to black people, from black people to African American people, Negro, Negroes, all this and that. So this African American stuff, that's just something they just threw in there as of whenever they start calling us African Americans. Okay, excuse me. And I'm a dark skinned person myself. And at one point, I didn't particularly care for dark men, and that was because when I was 15, I was raped by a man. excuse me, he was 17 at that time, and I was 15. Raped by a young guy who, he was very dark. I mean, he was black. You know, he was very, and from that point on, it sort of like put a fear in me as, you know, being with guys of his color. So I was basically dating, you know, guys that were light-skinned, you know, or weren't as dark as he was. But not to say that I didn't love my black brothers, because I've always loved them, but it was just a thing that fear was in me, because I felt that me being with the guy, his color, you know, they were all the same. So that was my fear of, you know, being with someone who was black skin, so to speak. So we have our reasonings, and we have our doubts, we have our fears, we have things that keep us from, you know, that will make us dislike something. But when a person who's in their own skin and they can't stand the color of their own skin, if they're black and they crave wanting to be white or crave wanting to be lighter than what they are, I think that's basically, to me, that's self-hatred, because how can you not love yourself because of the color of your skin? And I realize, you know, we've been ridiculed, called names, and, you know, put down because of the color of our skin, but I'm proud of the color of my skin. I always have been, and I always will be, because this is the skin that God put me in. And we're not going to go there, you know, as far as discussing the religion aspect of it, but, you know, you have people that are actually bleaching their skin, and it's even causing cancer for them to change the color of their skin. They're willing to go so far as to give themselves cancer to get out of their skin. Now, that's sad. That is really sad. Then you have little children who are hating the color of their skin because someone says something to them. If my child came home one day and said, Mommy, why does everybody say I'm black and I'm ugly and I'm this and that? That's when I'm going to embrace my child and let them know that you're not ugly, you're beautiful, and that's the color of the skin that you're supposed to be. Don't let people tell you that you're ugly. For real, they are the ugly ones, because anytime you can say something like that to somebody else, that just shows your character. And I was watching the Oprah documentary they had on the other night. Did either one of you see that?
Yeah, I just looked at it before the show started. I got a chance to look at it before the show started.
What did you think of it?
It was, I think the saddest part that for me was the little girl. When they asked the little girl questions, and she was pointing between the white doll and the black doll. When they asked, you know, who was the stupidest, she pointed to the black doll. And who was the smartest, she pointed to the white dog. I think that affected me more. Like, wow, it's real out here. Like, it's sad that it's like that, but wow, even a child did that, and that was crazy. So I mean,
but where would she get that impression from, that the black is stupid and the white is smart? She had to have that had to have been indoctrinated in her some type of way, because why would she even, I mean, you know, I'm just, I can't imagine what would make a child think a white doll is smarter than a black doll, not unless, you know, somebody may have said something to her about that.
Right, right.
Because children, they repeat things that they see and hear. So I'm quite sure she had to have heard that from someone, from somewhere.
Yep.
And then how they make these dolls up. The white dolls, they're always the quote-unquote prettiest dolls, when the black dolls, they're just black and, you know, they're not made as attractive as the white dolls. You know, because when I was coming up, it was basically all white dolls. And I had a collection of white dolls. And it really wasn't a problem, you know, when I got a black doll, you know. But it's just this indoctrination that they're putting in these kids' heads, telling them that they're, you know, and then showing them who has the better hair.
Mm-hmm.
And naturally they're going to say the white person. But see, what they don't know is that there are black people that have that same kind of hair.
Mm-hmm.
But it's just, you know, they're just indoctrinating them so much that this is the right hair. If you're light skinned, you know, you're better. If you go out and look for a job, and if you're light skinned, you're bound to get it, opposed to a black person. I'm getting some feedback noise. Okay. You know, it's just sad that people don't love the skin they're in. Then you have the guys who say that they don't date black girls because they're dirty, they're ignorant, and, you know, that might be my phone that's making that. Okay, hello?
Mm-hmm.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, we hear you.
The feedback is still there.
What is that? Is that coming from my phone or what? Yeah, it sounds like an echo. Do you hear it, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That must be my dumb phone. I don't know, but maybe it'll stop shortly, I don't know. But, you know, it's just a shame that, you know, within a black race, how we're treated. You know, there's even prejudice in the black race, believe it or not, because anytime a person will down another person in that race, that's racism.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's that's how I feel about it, because, you know, you got these black men saying, I'll never date a black woman. And then the fact of the matter, I know a long time ago it used to be, because I think it was on that program, I had watched another one where this light-skinned guy had said, well, now all the black brothers are came in and they've taken all the light-skinned girls. Because at one point it used to be just the light-skinned girls would be with the light-skinned guys. The black girls would be with the black guys. Then they started, the light-skinned girls was going with the black guys. Then the light-skinned guys just faded out because they was all going with the black guys. But, you know, after a while, like I said, when I had stopped dating the darker-skinned guys, then eventually I started, when I started in the medical field, I met this guy, and he was the same color as the guy who had raped me. But for some reason, I said to myself when I met him that I was not going to, you know, I wasn't going to hold it against him. And I'm telling you, this guy, when we, you know, became good friends, which we're still good friends now, and I actually really loved that guy. So I said, wow, all those years I had that fear, But, you know, that's what fear will do to a person sometimes. But, you know, it wasn't like I said, I'm not going to date no more black men. You know, meaning, you know, giving up on all my brothers like that. It was just the black skin guys. You know, it sounds crazy now, but, you know, then I rationalized that to fit how I was feeling, and I was feeling bad about it because this guy had raped me. So, Rhea, how did you feel about the program?
I didn't see it. I don't have cable.
Oh, okay. Well, we have a caller.
I may get to see it when I visit with my daughter.
Oh, okay.
Then I'll see it at that point.
Oh, okay. Let's bring this caller in. Caller 334-648, are you there?
Yes, I am. Hey, Dallas.
Hey, what's up, Miss Kane? What's going on, girl?
This is Granny.
Oh, Granny, I'm sorry. I thought it was Miss Kane. I am so sorry, Granny. Did you see the program?
Yeah, I did. Hey, Rhea and Danny.
Hey.
I just want to comment real quick. Last night I was watching on the Oprah Winfrey Network the little thing that they did, Dark Girls, and I feel that black people, we ain't gonna never have no unity. That's number one. And second, we've been programmed to hate ourselves because I can remember being little. I had some marks and stuff on my skin, and I've always kind of been like a little red. I'm more of a, I guess you can say, a caramel complexion. But I've always had like a lighter tone. But I wanted to, at first, to be a little lighter than what I really was because I'm like going to school every day and I'm looking at these little white kids or whatever. And you know, back then, and it's probably just for me because I know y'all are a little bit older, Mom Deuce and real, but I experienced that, oh, you're black and all this old type of shit. And when you're that young and you're not having anyone to tell you, okay, you know, you're supposed to love the skin that you're in, you probably, like I did and maybe with a couple other people that I know, have a tendency of thinking, okay, well, maybe I might need to do something to enhance my look because I just don't understand, like I got a good grade of hair. And I perm it every so often because I have to keep it where I can manage it or whatever. But I just don't understand, like, why God gave white women, and well, not just white women, but white people the hair where they can just get their ass in the shower, wash their hair, get out, blow dry, and go on about their day. It's such a difference when it comes to the two of us as, you know, as a whole. And I just, I never understood that. And you got now some white people, they want to try to bleach their skin and shit to be black. But, I mean, like, it seems as if they're not happy with their self. But I can understand why, you know, some people have issues with their skin complexion being black. And I probably would, too, if I was a little bit darker. Because we have all been taught that the darker the skin is uglier than, you know, having lighter skin. I don't know why that is. And you got more dudes that are attracted to women, well, black women, or of my complexion and on lighter.
Well, to your question, as far as like women who, you know, the white women's hair, there are black people who have the same hair.
But
and,
Go ahead.
That can get in the shower, wash it, blow dry it, and go on about their business. Now, a person with dark skin, excuse me, some people are black. And when I say black, I mean black. Skin smooth, beautiful white teeth. I mean, they just are beautiful because at one time when I was in New Orleans, I was on Bourbon Street. And when I got down to the corner, I don't know the name of the street, but I got down to the corner, and this guy, he was tall. He was black as night. His skin was so smooth. He had gray eyes. Now, check this out. Just now, put this man in your mind. He had gray eyes, and his hair was curly. This man was black as night. That was the most beautiful man I have ever seen in my life, that black. And I'm just saying that when a person's skin color, really it's not the skin color, it's really the character, what's in your heart that matters. And then a person can be black and still can be beautiful, you know, because like they say, black is beautiful. You know, opposed to it being gloomy and soiled and all that crazy stuff. When the moon comes out at night, look how beautiful it looks when the moon is shining at night. When you in the daytime and the sun is shining, you cannot look at the sun. But for a minute or two, if you look at it too long, you'll go blind. But at night, you just look up in the sky when it's dark. You see all the stars out. The sky is beautiful. You know, the full moon or even a half a moon, you know, it's just beautiful. But because we have been indoctrinated over and over and over, your skin is black, you're ugly, you got big lips and this and that. My lips, a guy told me that I had European features, which the only thing I can think being European feature on myself is my lips. My lips are small. And I honestly do wish my lips were a little bigger, you know, a little fuller, because they're just too small for me. And I think a person with full lips is beautiful. Full lips, you have this nice chocolate, dark skin, smooth. And I can still see that man in my head. Black as night. So, I mean, I can't understand why they think that black is ugly, this and that. And they're true, there are some unattractive dark-skinned people. There's some unattractive light-skinned people. Some unattractive white people. That's across the board. But to single out the black-skinned people, I don't know. If it's not one thing about that's true. The dark-skinned people, the dark-skinned people, they will be singled out and they will be talked about, ridiculed, and, you know, a couple of other things that go on, you know, with the black race. So I just think that, you know, the media has a lot to do with it because they, you know, they have the upper hand. So when they put something on the news, you know, especially he was 6'4", black. You know, they never put anything on the news. He was 6'4", and white. You know, they say black to distinguish. And if they don't say anything else, then you automatically know that it was a white person who did it. But they never say 6'4", white or Caucasian. And then the fact of the matter, we accept anything. Like I said, they used to call us colored, Negro. They went from Negro to niggers, negress, even, you know, monkeys, you know, all that crazy kind of stuff. And we accepted that.
That's because we've been trying to accept that type of stuff. And it was before they started calling us niggers, we were. What it is, real, you should know this, Diablos or some shit like that. It was something that started.
Milanos?
Mm-mm. It was something I read some stuff where it goes way back that they used to call us something that started with a D. I can't think of exactly what that word is. I would have to go back and look it up. But we just have been programmed. That's why, you know what I'm saying, I have a hatred for white people, and I, you know, I don't care if I come off ignorant to people. I don't give a fuck. So don't care, because look at this world that we in, like with this Trayvon Martin situation. There shouldn't even be no trial. And to me, black people, we stand back. We always talk about how we want things to go and want things to be. We stand back and we let stuff get out of hand. And then, like I said, we put each other down. we call each other black and ugly and nappy head and all this type of shit. So if there's no unity with us, we can't expect for nobody else to have no type of respect for us. You see what I'm saying?
That is true. I agree with that because just like I had a conversation earlier with a friend of mine was talking about the Paula Deen case. Now, she's from the South, and that's how she was brought up. She had said yesterday that her father was a slave owner. And, you know, when his slave owners left, he couldn't do nothing, so he killed himself. I mean, what kind of mess is that?
Stupid.
She actually said that her father killed himself because he no longer had any workers. Now, when you become that dependent on somebody else doing something for you, then I guess you need to be dead.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, have you seen, like, and I won't get too far off the topic, but I just want to ask, what's y'all opinion about Stacey Dash once again stepping forth? Because some people say that Stacey Dash is not black, but, hell, if you look at her, she look black. Her and Sierra coming to the defense of Paula Deen. And my thing is not the fact that, you know what I'm saying, Paula Deen said the word nigga once upon a time. You know, every white person, I always want to say they said the word at least one time, and I shouldn't be put at fault for something that I said a long time ago. Paula, who is you fucking fooling? You know you've been saying that word, and you know you've been looking at black people the same way, because how long ago was it when they had that wedding that she wanted all the people, all black folks to show up as slaves? That ain't had nothing to do with you way back when. That was present day.
Well, I thought that's what the controversy was over, because she wanted to have, like, these people to be slaves at this wedding that was coming up.
Yeah, well, I'm saying, so what y'all... Well, go ahead, Mom, because I won't cut you off.
Was that already happened or what?
What? As far as...
the wedding.
Wanting, that was, I think, just a little while ago.
Oh, okay.
That wasn't no midway that we...
Right. Well, my thing with the Paula Deen case is this. She from the South. And, you know, they probably sat around all day calling their slaves niggers, nigger this, nigger, blah, 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 blah. So, actually, she felt that it was okay because that's how it had been coming up. And I'm quite sure her father, who couldn't live without slaves, who killed himself, I'm quite sure he called them niggers as well. So she just figured one day, you know, she was going to let it out, just like I seen her, and this, she called some guy over and said, look at him, he's just as black as that board. Why was that necessary to say? You know, he was a dark man now, but why does she have to say that? And then, you know, we like also mentioning ourselves, we put ourselves down, we call ourselves niggers and, you know, all this so crazy stuff, but when someone else says it, it's offensive.
Well, I know.
So maybe, pardon?
I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, so maybe the word, which I know it'll never, ever be abolished out of the English dictionary, but maybe, you know, people need to be a little bit more aware and conscious when they use that word. They use it as a word of endearment or use it in anger, or just use it out of just the fact of just using it. Because it's not always what you're called, it's what you answer to. If you call me anything but Gail, Delicious, Tina, Baby, Sugar, Honey, all them kind of things, if you call me anything outside of that, I don't hear you. Because, number one, I'm not a hoe, I'm not a slut, I'm not a bitch. All them things, no.
Well, I know.
So people, go on, Rhea.
Regarding that word, it just, from the first time I ever heard, which I called some stupid shit, when they say, we call each other that, we taking the power back. You can't never take the power back. You have people who died for us to have the right to be looked upon as a person and not as a property, and not that word. The word is just a hateful, derogatory word. The original word was Negro. Nigger is the version that was taken to be meant to be hurtful. So that part about taking the power back away from it is bull. That part about sticks and stones can hurt my bones, but names can never hurt me is bull, because words do hurt. Okay,
yep.
And that words are hurts that you can't never take back, because once you release them, that breath into them, they're out there, and they're out there for forever. Now, I look at the Paula Deen situation as this. You have a public figure who is getting her $17 million a year off of things that she publicly do that calls for the support of the public and the actions of the public, and now she's getting payback from the public for the something stupid that she did in the public eye. You don't just because you are, and then what kills me, I was born in the South. Like, that's supposed to be an excuse. I was talking to somebody today, and I made a statement to them. I have a 47-year-old brother. Last time I heard about him or from him, he was still homeless. This man has been homeless since, let's say, for the last 8 years. I don't think it was last year. I think it was the year before last. So this summer, 2 years ago, he got a settlement for a discriminatory firing situation,
mm-hmm.
and it was well over $20,000.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the amount that I'm hearing is different. I asked him to do one thing. I said, get you a room somewhere and pay your rent for 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
I said, you won't have to worry about where you're putting your head at. You can just go, and that'll give you a chance to find a job and get back on your feet and this, that, the other. That man
right.
blew through that money in less than 2 weeks.
Oh,
and he's still
goodness.
Homeless, okay? Yeah, in less than 2 weeks. He's still homeless. If you talk to him, he has the audacity to say things like, my father beat me when I was a kid. And he used these, what I call excuses. And I sit back and I say to him the same thing I said about that statement that she said, well, I was raised in the South. Like, that's supposed to be an explanation. And you're a grown-ass person and you need to choose how to act. You
right.
don't get to go back. You don't get to keep – when does that get old? You know, just because you was raised in the South does not give you a free ride. It does
right.
not give you a lean way. You choose to be the person you are. You choose to say these things and do these things and this, that, and the other. And, I mean, it's almost laughable to me because it's so damn unbelievable. What in the hell makes you think people want to dress up like slaves? You want somebody to kill? And this is a wedding. This is a formal. You want somebody to dress up like slaves? The whole idea of that is ludicrous to me.
Right. Well, she probably lives on a plantation somewhere, because you know when Oprah and Gail went to visit her, they stayed out back in the guest house. So that right there tells you that she still has that mentality of being taken care of by slaves and going through whatever she went through with her father. We have another call. I'm going to bring this caller in. 402-972, are you there?
I am here.
Hi, black man.
Hello, ladies. How are you this evening?
Fine, thank you. You have a question
good,
or a comment?
Good. Well, look, on Paula Deen, she'll get slapped on the wrist for a little while. Give it a year, her ass will be back.
But
she,
I heard she was hired on Fox 5. They hired her on Fox 5.
Yeah, I mean, Don Imus went off when she was saying stuff a year. They kicked him off for a year, he was back. Dog the Bounty
mm-hmm.
Hunter, they kicked him off the air for a year, he was back.
Right.
And this is just a slap on the wrist. That's all it is. And I see it for what it is, because the mentality is still there. It hasn't gone anywhere.
Right.
So I'm not surprised. And, yeah, I'm not surprised she said it. It doesn't, I guess to me, because when I hear black people talk about, I was so shocked, I couldn't believe she was. I just look at black folks today and I just shake my head. How you actually believe that? I don't
mm-hmm.
put it past none of them, even the ones I work with. I don't put it past none of them.
Right.
That they think I'm some low-down, dirty, no-good-for-nothing, low-minded nigger. I don't put it past them, and I never will put it past them. So I'm not surprised about the incident. It just finally all came out. It was just a matter of time, and it just all came out. As far as the topic, mm-hmm, go ahead.
Well, let me ask you, I was going to ask you as far as the topic, as far as dark-skinned women, you know, are dark-skinned people being discriminated against by their own race? What do you think of that?
Of course, because we've been psychologically trained to believe anything that's black is evil. It's disgusting.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want no black. I don't want no man who's all black. I don't want no black kid. You know, there's some light-skinned folks that marry each other to stay light.
Yeah.
You know, that still goes on. There's case after case after case. I don't want to date you because you're too black. My grandmother doesn't want any black kids coming in. Or because you're pretty for a dark-skinned girl. You know, that shit kind of pisses me off. Because I have dated light to dark.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? I had a problem with it growing up because I couldn't decipher. I didn't understand until I actually was mature enough, until somebody taught me, look, man, do you know who you are? And once he started to explain to us who we were and our history, then I started to understand. Oh, now I get it.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't look down at dark skin stuff like that, because I see a lot of nice looking ones. Like, you know, I'm down here in Texas,
mm-hmm,
so I see a nice chunk of chocolate women running around down here. I see some nice brown skin. I see some nice light skin. So it is all boiled down to a history of psychological training to believe that if you're dark-skinned, you are not as good as someone light-skinned. And they keep perpetuating the same game year after year after year after year after year after year. And it's like, for me, I sit back and look at it, like, when do we wake up and realize this is the same game they've been playing for years? Especially with ourselves. When do we realize this is the same game we're going through year after year after year? We're like cat and dog chasing the tail. Okay, now when does it stop?
Now, okay. I'm a very dark-skinned woman. And I grew up with no self-esteem. And I do know, I will not just tell you, man just came from the color of my skin. I do know that some of man was passed down from my mom. My mom said she wanted one of us to marry white so she would have her some pretty blue-eyed grandchildren. As a child, I just looked at her. As an adult, we almost got, I almost ended up in hell because we almost got into it in regard to that statement. And I had to literally just clamp my hand over my mouth because I'm talking to my mom. And then years later, we re-approached that subject and I had my say. But that's what she used to come, and that's because my mother was even darker than I am. And that's because of what she came up in. And that's because of the way that they talked. Now, when I was younger, I had other issues. Yes, I was darker complected, but I also had short hair, okay? And I have as you all can hear, I have a very deep voice. So they used to say that I was a boy trying to act like a girl because of my voice and things like this. And as I got older and I started getting reactions from males because of my voice, like, okay, what the hell wrong with him? It took me years to realize that some men like that sultry voice, which is, you know, it took me years to realize that. Now, when I was in school, I'm going to give you a prime example. And I think it was during this time that I was, like, almost completely crushed. And then, how you hit rock bottom and then you start moving back up?
Mm-hmm.
I was one of the people who was almost always at the top of her class. If you put all my grades together, all of them was A's, probably with the exception of three or four. Okay. Because I transferred into this school for 7th and 8th grade, I could not get the ranking of valedictorian or salutatorian, but I wasn't at the top of the class anyway. But I was tied with the person that was second. I couldn't get the ranking because I was a transfer in. So they decided that I was going to do the welcome speech. And I wrote it, I practiced it, they approved it. 2 days before our graduation, my teacher comes to me, and he tells me I'm not going to do the speech. Then he tells me somebody else who else is going to do the speech.
Huh.
And when asked, tears welled up, because when I get mad, the first thing I do is you see tears. And then Rita rolls her head, and all hell breaks loose. But anyway, so I looked at him. So finally, when I got my voice back, I said, "Why?" That's the only word I said to him. This man stood in my face. Now, I'm an eighth grader. This man stood in my face and told me because she will look better on the stage giving it.
Mm. Wow.
You're talking about somebody that was crushed. Not only that, she was going to give my speech. She gave my speech, the one I wrote. You're talking about somebody that was not only crushed. One of my teachers, I'll never forget her name, get together as long as I live, because that's when it was like right after then was when the healing started. Somebody told her what was going on. She ran in there and bust into that meeting, looked him in his face, said, "You come with me." Grabbed me by the hand, took me in her room, and told me how pretty I was, how pretty my skin I was, and that I was never to let anybody step on me. And she was not yellow, but she was a lighter complected woman. And she just, went through this whole diatribe about what a beautiful person I was. But, you know, I'm still crushed. It took me until my junior year of high school to start saying to myself, I am who I am. Take it or leave it.
Mm.
And from then on, I was able to build myself back up to where the point where as I could look at myself and give myself credit for what credit does. Now, the other side of that is, where it comes from in my mom, I have a sister that's darker than me. My sister has jet black wavy long hair, beautiful grayer hair. You know what I'm saying? My mother used to take off, my mother would buy the two sets of Borat, but she would put them all in my sister's hair because she said, "No, she's so darker. We need all the color to make her look pretty." So I went to school with these flat plaits in my head. As my kids call them silly braids, Color Purple. They call them silly braids. And my sister had all the Borat and things like that because my mother had issues with skin color. So as being one of them, those are the things that kind of nurture those things as we came up. Now, because I was so shapely, I didn't get all that from the boys because they were looking more at the body than they was looking at the face, you know. But I've heard that, oh, you're pretty for a dark-skinned girl. And I laughed in the damn face and walked away because by then I knew who I was. Like, really? You give a compliment and take it back in the same breath. Okay.
Yep.
Yeah, that you know, it's a shame that, you know, people will do things to you because you are a darker color, you know, like they always, you know, when I was going to school, me and this girl, her name was Candy, I'll never forget Candy. Candy was a little white girl. And, you know, we used to play together all the time after school, but she would always come to my house. And I asked Candy one day, "Let's go play at your house." She says to me, "We can't play at my house." And I said, "Why?" She said, "Because my mother, her mother and her father, because I think both her parents was in the home." She said, "Because my mother and my daddy, they don't like niggers." Okay. And when I had to go home and ask my mom, you know, what's a nigger? You know, I know it sounds crazy, but that's what I had to do because I didn't know what a nigger was because we didn't speak that, you know, stuff in our household. So I you had to find out what it was, and I asked my mom. And she explained it to me, but that's sort of like, you know, when you learn something, especially as a child, when you learn things as a child, sometimes those things you can deal with them in a certain way, then sometimes you can't. But from that point on, I never asked her again to, you know, go play at her house, even though she, you know, she came and she played with me. I don't know if her parents even knew that she was playing with me, you know, to that point. But I never grew up being, you know, disliking people because of the color of their skin. Some of these parents are actually teaching their children, well, you know, don't hang around this person because they're too dark. They'll do things to you because black people are like that. Black skin people are like that. And
yep,
they're dirty. And, you know, that's not a way to tell. That's something that you don't need to be telling your children, indoctrinating those things in their brain, because they will grow up and it will still be on their brain. And it could cause problems somewhere in their lifetime where it's not even necessary, you know, because, like, the trauma that I had, well, what had happened to me was due to trauma. And, you know, once I got older and the fear subsided, and then, you know, like I said, I had met that guy, and he was the same complexion as the guy who had raped me, but I had just told myself that, you know, all dark-skinned men can't be like that. You know, but I know that, you know, everybody doesn't go through trauma to make that decision to say, well, I don't like black-skinned people. And then what is it about black-skinned people that's so despicable? You know, because just because our skin is dark, it does not change. We still bleed the same. Our blood is still the same color. We have two eyes, a nose, and lips just like light-skinned people. Or brown-skinned people, you know, what is the thing that causes the hatred towards darker-skinned people?
Because they are more potent. Darker-skinned people have so much more melanin in their bodies, gives them better protection from the sun, and also it can genetically annihilate anybody lighter. That's why, I mean, anybody who's read the ISIS paper, psychologically speaking.
I'm right now, black man.
Huh? Well, I'll go from the ISIS papers. According to Dr. Frances Creswell, psychiatrist, child psychiatrist, the Crest theory, she was stating that, scientifically speaking, that white males, when they were hanging black men, they usually cut off their genitals.
Right.
And wore them as necklaces. Well, that was and the gun is actually a symbol of a male penis because it can annihilate somebody. Well, the reason being is because that's what the black male genitalia could do, and if they got with that white woman, they can make these kids of color, which is backing up the biological research that had been done by Mendel, which was talking about dominant recessive genes. And that is one of the reasons they really did not like black men. Plus, a true black man, not these little boys running around here. I mean, a true black man is not going to go down and bow down to just any old damn thing. He's going to stand up, defend, and protect. Even and that type of man is always seen as he's rebellious. He must be, there's something wrong with him. He's you know, he's too masculine. He's defiant.
Well, I have some callers on the line. I'm going to open the lines.
Hello?
Okay,
hello?
Caller. Is this caller 661-748?
Yes.
You have a question or comment?
Yeah, I was just wondering if you respect Howard Stern's penis.
Always got to be a fucking
dude. Mm-hmm. Is this Tyler?
Yes.
Do you have a question or a comment?
Well, yeah, I have a funny story, kind of.
What has happened?
I'm actually African American as well, and ever since I was little, I didn't really like my skin color, And so I always thought there was something I could do to change it, you know, being young and all. And I was always different from all the other kids, you know. And so I had this one friend who I confided in and, you know, told him, it was probably like 7 or 8, and I told him that I didn't like my skin color. And so I know how to do it. My mom taught me this, and my dad. So he would always go to his room and come back, and he would, all right, put this stuff all over your skin. So I would, and, you know, it would dry kind of white. So I thought it was really working for a while. And come to find out, it was semen.
Oh, wow.
Wow. What happened?
Oh, wow.
Someone had told him to put something on his skin to bleach it, and he come to find out it was semen.
Wow.
It was really emotionally damaging.
Wow.
Wow. So how did you find it out that it was semen?
Well, he was also African-American, and he told me his dad used to do the same thing, so he didn't think it was weird.
Whoa.
I'm lost because I'm trying to figure out how would sperm be able to bleach the skin. I know it's powerful. I'm sorry.
I think
that was a crank call. 608-323. Are you there?
Hello?
Yes.
Yeah.
Is this 608-323?
Hello?
Yes.
Oh, you can hear me.
Yes.
Hey, I
you
am
a
recent... Oh, yes. I'm having trouble fitting in with my new black persona. I was a white boy for about 17 years. I've recently made the switch with the help of hormones and a great deal of skin treatment. Do you have any advice for me?
Yeah, get off the line.
Yeah, hang up.
hung up on him because it's getting, you know, crank calls. But whatever, you know, back to tonight's topic.
Well,
anybody
they always
out
come
there
out
who,
during these subjects.
They
right,
always anybody
come out,
out
during
there
these
who,
type of subjects.
Pardon?
No, go ahead, Delicious. Go ahead, Miss.
No, anybody out there who's listening and calling in crank calls and all this so crazy stuff, you know, I don't really have time for that. There are a couple of joke shows on Blog Talk Radio. Hook up with them. Okay, back to the topic. I don't know who was talking last, but Danny.
Yes, ma'am.
Have you ever had any problems with anyone, you know, talking about your complexion?
As a kid, I was always teased, and that didn't bother me because I never had low self-esteem. I always thought, you know, I was always taught by my grandmother and my mom that, you know, black was beautiful. So, you know, that never really bothered me in school. I
mm-hmm.
think that what bothers me more, and I think what aggravates me more now, is being mm-hmm. in the entertainment business is terrible. I can honestly say being an entertainer is the worst thing ever as far as me because I'm dark-skinned and I'm heavyset. So I get it triple times because they already put you in categories. I consider BBW. We all know that's big, black, and beautiful. That sounds great. Sounds good to us. That may be beautiful. But to any other company, it's not beautiful. They want you to lose a little bit more pounds. They want you to look a certain way because if you don't, then you have to be, you'll be characterized and only put in this role. So I got more heat as I got older because it was just like, wow, like, really? Like, you really telling me? And it's sad, and it's like you stuck between a hard place because it's like, you know, I love the skin that I am, and I am where I am. But reality, and to be honest, no, I don't have, there's nothing wrong with me, but reality, if I want better gigs, I got to look better. That's just reality, and I'm just being real. If you want better gigs, you have to look better. You damn near almost have to look like you white. And I'm not saying completely white, but you have to be a little lighter than me in order to get better roles, to be in front of a magazine to even get on a cover of a magazine. And if you're dark-skinned, the only way that you get on the cover, your body is, like, perfect. Literally, like I said, perfect.
Mm-hmm.
And not saying that there's not categories out there for, you know, BBW women and stuff like that. I'm sure it's fetish, whatever, but I don't want to be considered as the fetish fat girl. I'm not going to, you want to watch me eat? Like, no, you're not going to tell me those are the only categories I had to go through. But I get it, and it's aggravating now. As a kid, like I said, I never really, you know, I got teased, but it didn't really bother me.
Mm-hmm.
But I still to this day now, being in the entertainment business and being an entertainer, it's hell. I can tell you it's hell. And it's hell, and it's aggravating as hell, because it's like, wow, you want to grow and you want to go further, and everybody says the same thing. Oh, embrace yourself and be the different one. I respect that. If that's who you are, that's great, and I say more power to you, keep power to the people. That's great. But reality, that's not reality. That's not reality, because in order for me to go further, I have to change a little bit better. And it's like, wow. So it's like you got a choice. Like, you want more money? Well, you're going to have to do just a little bit of this. So it's crazy.
Yeah, that's that Hollywood. That's that Hollywood.
Yeah. That's another place where it's...
Yeah.
When you're not there... When you ask your mom what was a nigga, the reason I laughed was because a parent told another, told her child. Her child asked, why did we get these gifts 1 year from, I think it's Qantas, whatever that group is. And the mother told the child, we got the gifts because we were poor. So the child came back to the program the next day teasing my youngest son about, oh, y'all just poor. That's the only reason y'all got those gifts, this and the other. And he came home and he looked at me, probably like you looked at your mama. Mama, are we poor? And when you said that little image of that little 60-year-old boy, he's 23 now, came back to my face, and it was the funniest thing, because he had this look on his face of total confusion. And I'm like, and that's probably the same thing you had. It's like, what is that? You know, it's, I can understand that, but I know we had two families, and my children went to a small parochial school, Catholic school.
Mm-hmm.
We had two families in that Catholic school that were bleaching their children, and they figured it out from when one of the families, you know, like one of the children went to the next grade.
Mm-hmm.
And they happened to see the picture from the child from the grade before. And they looked at this child, and because the child had all these blotches. And they were concerned that, you know, it was something that, you know, they could spread around. So the teachers kept questioning. And those children were being bleached by their mom.
Wow, that's
that,
just like...
they would take that.
This Jamaican girl that I used to work in the hospital with, she was dark. She was darker than me. And, you know, I haven't worked in the hospital since 2005, and periodically I go up there for my doctor's appointments. And I saw her within this year, and her skin is darker than what it was. So, I spoke to one of the other coworkers. I said, what in the world happened to Earlene's skin? She said she was trying to bleach her skin, and whatever she was using, it made it's blotchy, and it looked a hot mess. Those bleaching creams, they have ingredients in it that burn your skin.
Mm-hmm.
They have cancer-causing ingredients in them, but you use them anyway because you don't like the skin you're in. I would rather be black. I'd rather be so black that I couldn't be seen at night than to put that mess on my face.
Mm.
You know, they basically are dying,
to be
out of the skin that they are in. And that's sad. That's really sad because, number one, you're the color that you was meant to be. You know, you have the hair that you was meant to have. You know, people are putting perms in their hair. I put perms in my hair over the years, and I really wish that I never, ever saw a perm. But because my hair was so thick, it was just so thick. When my mother used to straighten my hair, I'd be all the way on the floor. she'd be pulling my head back up. I'd be back down on the floor. And I mean, when I went to boarding school and, you know, it was maybe about 9 of us black girls in there opposed to the rest was all white. And somehow or another, they, you know, sold the kits in the school, or either a girl's mother bought her a kit or something. So when I saw how I had did her hair, that's when I put a perm in my hair. I think I was like 14 years old. And to this day, I really regret that I did that because it had thinned my hair out, you know. But, you know, people putting, you know, and if that's what you want to do, I'm not knocking it. I'm just basically speaking for myself because I know what happened to my hair, you know. And it didn't, this was over a period of years that my hair started thinning out because it's not like it's going to happen. You put a perm in your hair today, tomorrow, your hair is going to thin out. But trust and believe, over the years, the more you do to your hair, corn rolling it, putting tracks in it, doing this, doing that, eventually over the time, a course of time, your hair is going to become weak and it's going to thin out or fall out.
Oh, I'll say real quick.
Go on, darling.
I just wish that black people will start loving who they are, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Even though I thought that I have, you know, great-grandmama was Caucasian. And, being black and Dominican and Cherokee Indian, I still address my black side, you see what I'm saying? Because that's what I knew for so long. I didn't find out all the big deals about, you know, being of different races and shit until I was almost grown. But at the end of the day, like I said, I mean, I just think that we as a whole are our own worst enemy, and we need to start loving ourselves and stop trying to live up to the expectations of these white folks, because a lot of stuff that niggas do, and I said it, I mean, it's because we want to try to please those people. Every race always looks up to white people, and that's why everybody does things the way that they do, because after watching that show and what it was, Dark Girls, that's what I was telling you in the chat, after watching that on the Oprah network, it made me have a real eye-opener. And I was looking at these black men that was on there talking about, you know, how the black race is, and the way those men spoke with such integrity and such intelligence, I wish like hell that the world was full of those type of black men, because all these black guys now are ignorant as hell. They want to put down black women, run over to the white women, and just talk shit and act like they ain't come from black. I seen this guy on the internet he said he didn't want no black women to hit him up. He's not into black women, and he don't want to mess with no white women who hang out with black women. I'm like, what the hell? And he looked like he's from Zimbabwe. Let me just say it like that.
Well, what type of woman was he looking for?
Yeah.
He like white women. He likes white women. He don't want nothing but white women. And I don't know. All of this stuff disgusts me. And like I've been following this Trayvon Martin trial, it hurts me so bad on the inside. I feel like I just want to get out here and just go kill up someday about it, because we have been programmed to hate ourselves. And I don't understand why all these people, black people especially, think just because you get around, you know, white people that we mixing and mingling with these people. No, we not. They don't accept us, and they never will. They might be cool with you, might make you think like, you know, because some, you know, niggas have been out of the loop, and they haven't, you know, got that little part from the little, what I'm looking for, what's the word I'm looking for? They haven't got that respect, I guess you could say, from their own race. So they run over here like, oh, they showed me so much love, and they did this and they did that. Kind of like the movie where the one woman took in the black guy who turned out to be a pro football player. It's like, okay.
Oh, okay.
You ain't really did nothing. So at the end of the day, so what? His mama was a crackhead or whatever. Somebody else that could have been, that was a black family, could have did the same thing you did. That was called doing a good deed. Plain and simple.
Mm-hmm.
Oh,
that is true.
This whole mind thing is just off the chain. That's why you got Stacey Dashes out here. Because Stacey Dash has a problem with her father. She's got a psychological problem with her father. because her father was a drug addict, and he mistreated them. And she's never resolved that issue. That's why she always is on their side, defending them, running to them as boyfriends, even though she keeps picking these white boys whooping her ass. But you run into those, or you have the Uncle Ruckus. Because that's what a real damaged person is. Is the ones that like Uncle Ruckus off that damn Boondock show.
This show lives.
Okay, it's funny to a degree, but it's very sad. And I used to hate that character. I used to seriously hate that fucking character. I just wanted to turn the channel. I didn't want to watch it because of what he said. But I have to watch what he says because there's a lot, well, I won't say a lot. There's a number of them out here that think that way. They believe in their heart that's the way it is.
Mm-hmm.
Ain't nothing good unless white folks give it to me. Ain't nothing good. We judge our standard of what is success by them.
Yeah.
We judge what our beauty is almost by what they say our standards of beauty should be.
Yep.
We're nothing unless they tell us we are something. That's how damaged we are. And some of us realize that, but the rest of them are just so confused and twisted. They give you this so-called black president, and we just our black messiah while he's sitting over there in his pink bat phone helping everybody else except us. But then somebody had said this. This is what Corey Holcomb had said. Or no, somebody called into a show one day. He said, well, probably the reason why he doesn't really give a damn is probably because, I mean, he acknowledges that he's a black man, but still, his actions towards the community. He said maybe he feels this way because his father was not a slave. His father was an African. His mother was white, and he sits on the side of his parents. So he don't understand what it is. He probably doesn't probably understand what it is.
But
I say it's something else entirely.
Yeah.
But, you know, that's me.
Yeah, we're not going to get into the political aspect of that, but I really think that President Obama is basically doing what Congress is demanding him to do. He really has no say.
No.
And
he
does the best that he can do, could be a thing he is resting on the fact that his white side of the family or whatever, but I know that him being the president, a lot of people think that he's supposed to do this and work these miracles and different things. They talk about change the gun laws, the war on drugs and all. When the drugs been around long before Obama came along. Why did they wait till he become the president and then declare war on drugs? Bush bought drugs all over the North and all them bought them drugs over here. Why didn't they declare war on drugs then? Why did they have the gun control then? You know, these are things, this is another ploy how the white race is basically always there to pat us on the back with one hand and stab us with the other.
That's why I can't stand
the
ass exactly.
Oh, well, to be honest with you, the war on drugs actually started in the Nixon administration. And
well, like I said, it's been around
problem.
Long before Obama
yeah,
came
it's
along.
Been, it's been around long. Right, it has been. And that's according to the research done by Michelle Alexander. But it's been, you're right, it's been around a long time. And it's not going to stop because it's one of the money makers for the United States
right.
of America.
Exactly.
And if you
that's what
want
they do.
To. But also, this is the game, too, also playing, because black folks were woke. A lot of us, if the whole collective was woke, they would understand the game that was laid down, because this is how they laid this game down. It's being played again. The game is, we're going to start trying to end certain things, like we're going to end the war on drugs. There wasn't even a drug problem in the black community until after the Nixon administration, actually when the Reagan administration came into power and they dropped all those drugs into the black community. So they were declaring, setting up a war, then declaring there was going to be a war. And here's years later, there's an epidemic, drug epidemic, and now they've been saying that this war is here or they're fighting it and wow, here comes this war. In other words, they say this is one thing going on, set it up, and then it's a war. And I say the game is being played again because they're doing it with the homosexuals now. This is a game. This is a game they keep repeating. Every time they want to try to change something or do something, they always lay it on us to push it. And once it falls on us, we're sitting here trying to feel confused. What happened? How did it come here? What did it do? Who did this?
That's what
it's
they
the
do.
Same
they
game.
They
it's
conjure
same.
Up all this mess to cause confusion in the first place. That's
yes.
what it's all about. They try to divert from the real problems and the real things that are going on, opposed to, you know, like you said now, it's with this gay thing and, you know, this and that. But I really don't want to get off the topic at hand, which is, you know, the dark-skinned people.
Oh, well, the dark-skinned, like, yeah. Yeah, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to take it off topic. I kind of more
right,
so
well,
talking about
no,
the psychology.
I know, but. I had done that myself because we started talking about President Obama. But yeah, it's back to the darker people, and you know, like people need to just love themselves, because like you had mentioned, Black man, as far as like Hollywood is concerned. Look at the women in Hollywood. How many black-skinned women do you see?
Huh.
You know,
three.
Yeah. And even when they had, you know, Whoopi. Now, everybody speaks about how ugly Whoopi is, this and that.
Mm-hmm.
But to me, I think Whoopi is beautiful. You know why? Because she doesn't wear makeup. And to me, she's beautiful. And
yeah,
I love her.
Hard
huh?
Yeah. I think they give her
love,
a hard time.
Right. I love her hair. And that she's put on a few pounds, and that's expected when you get up there in age. But she, to me, Whoopi has always been beautiful to me. But, you know, they're talking about how ugly she is. She's black, this, that. You know, I mean, what, you know, this is, I'm still puzzled by the fact of what is it about the black skin that makes a person almost kill themselves to change it.
Because we too busy trying to live up to the expectation of these white folks. That's why every black person, like, come on, black women, let's just start with that. Black women weren't concerned about how big they asses was, because we was born with naturally big asses. Then we wasn't even concerned about how our breast feels. You see what I'm saying? Now black bitches right now here getting ass job, breast implants. Look at that woman that was on the Trisha show. And then I think she been all over, like, you know, Good Morning America and all this stuff.
Yeah,
I
had that butt that looked a hot mess. She ran.
No,
here,
not her.
She goes, it was another
not
one?
Not her. What? The one that got her knees and stuff, she got fake legs.
Oh,
she's and all
an
this stuff.
Amputee. Yeah, she got amputated because she had some injection. I mean, come on, black women. I mean, come on. Either you got it or you don't. Put on a girdle with some butts in it, you know. I mean, going through all the extreme of getting needles in you, and then you see what happened. Another woman lost four of her extremities, both her arms and her legs, trying to get a butt.
She tried to, you know, and again, I say the reason why she's doing that is because they're trying to, the media, which is ran by these white folks, got, you know, the black viewers looking at TV, because everything on TV is predominantly white. You got a few stuff that, you know, you see us or whatever. Yeah, we do. And then a lot of stuff that you see us in is portraying us to be ignorant, ghetto.
Yeah, it's negative.
You know,
it's
class.
Negative.
Exactly. So, of course, you know, these people are out here, these women especially, is out here trying to do this because, like I said, they try to live up to the image. They want to, society already making it seem, white folks, that if you don't look a certain way, if you don't look like this, you're not beautiful. If you don't wear a size 2, you're not beautiful. If these people would get a damn grip on reality and stop letting the internet and this white media and everything that's ran by these white folks influence them, then we'd probably be better as a race. We probably
that's
would hate
true.
The skin that we in. And these and something else real quick, I'll say this before I shut up. Like with black dudes, it goes back to something that black man was just saying. The reason why these black men are not more interested in these black women no more is because it's being taught that we're not beautiful. It don't even matter if you is light skinned. They trying to act like white is right. And that's what it's all about.
Mm-hmm. It's an agenda.
Yeah, because,
it's an agenda.
Yeah. But check it out. The white women are getting their lips pumped up because they know our lips are beautiful. You know, a black people, and I love to see men with full lips. And I, like I had mentioned earlier, I wish my lips were fuller. Well, I don't even have no lips, period, but I wish my lips were full, you know. But these women are getting lip injections, butt injections, getting tans. This one, I think, I don't know if that was on Oprah or whatever show. I said, this one, this white woman has said, I just don't know what I would do if I didn't have a tan. And that's a spray tan. And you know how they lay out in the sun, get skin cancer. I mean, they're dying to be our color. They're dying to have our beautiful lips. They're dying to have our big butts. But yet and still, they're hating on us.
Yeah.
And I don't know if any of you are familiar with Sarah Bartley. Mm-hmm. Are you familiar with her, mm-hmm. black man?
I heard that name before. Sounds familiar.
Right. You familiar with her, Rhea?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, tell us a little bit about it because I'll start it off and you can finish it. But she was, they had brought her over from Africa, right? Am I right, Rhea?
Yeah.
They had brought her over from, huh?
Okay, go ahead. I think I know what you're talking about. Go ahead.
They had brought her over from Africa and she had big butt, big hips, big titties, big lips. And they was amazed at her body structure. They prostituted her. They did all kind of things to her. And when she died, you know, they cut her vagina. They put her butt, her breasts, all these things in jars, saving them. And back in the day, you know, when women, the white women was wearing those bustles on the back of their dresses, that was because the men was loving it. They was loving it, but they was too ashamed to admit it. That's what they wanted. So the women, they made them wear these bustles on the back of their dresses for them to have a butt.
Exactly. Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
They also,
that's why they wore that. Yes.
None of Sarah Barton actually, you know, like was buried or this, that, and the other, because they like her blood and her, you know, different parts of her, flesh and everything, they slowly lost different sciences and things like that because they're trying to examine to find out how she ended up this way.
Mm-hmm.
How did she end up with this? You know, and they're doing all these tests, just like I can't think of her name. Lott. I think her last name is Lott. That's where one of the chemo factors or whatever came from, which was also a black woman. They do these tests on them to try to find out where our makeup. That's why when black men said the things that he said as far as us annihilating them, because our genes are the stronger genes. Just like coming up, even as the slaves, what they used to say, we're built like horses. You know, our men, you know, they can carry this. That's because of the strength that was in us. They was doing like examinations and tests, trying to figure out how do they get to be this way? What are they doing that gets them to be this way? And things such as that. And I just think all that kind of stuff is amazing to me, because we're the race that so many of them for so many years hated. You know, we were getting it from all sides, but yet so many of them was also trying to be like us. You know, they were trying to be what we get naturally, they were trying to do. But I'm going to tell you something that may be this. Okay, I was ignorant to that ideal of trying to get hair like white women. When I relaxed my hair, only because I wanted the ease and the versatility. It wasn't easy dealing with what I used to consider nappy hair that now I officially know is curly hair, since you can actually see the curls in it. It took time to deal with that. And I had this very, very dry hair. So when I relaxed my hair, it was so that I could put those 4 or 5 rollers in my hair at night and get up in the morning and comb it, and it was easier. Now, I stopped because like you said, Gail, it was breaking my hair off. It was after I stopped that I learned that we relaxed our hair to be like white women. Okay, I ain't saying why I did it. So I'm sitting back listening to things and stuff like that. I'm like, oh, okay. I didn't even hear about that until after then. And that was in, what, 2006 that I stopped relaxing my hair. It was just because it was breaking my hair off, especially in the top. I had a bald spot. It was nothing I could do about it. But I just sit back and I look at the overall in general. As black women, we get almost attacked from every side. And I swear, I still say we're the only race where our men do not stand up for our women. And I'm talking as a whole, and I'm not talking about, because you have some that will stand and will die trying to stand. But as a whole, if you look at the whole big picture, we're the only ones that they do that to. Then when they get and they say certain things, I just can't help that statement that I know so many have heard before. What about your mama? Look where you came from. You know, I just don't get it. Now, I'm one of them. I do believe that love is colorblind. I do believe that certain things, now, if you put yourself in a situation where you're only dating of a certain race or a certain thing, it's not colorblind. You're making it that way. But
right.
If it just happens naturally, it just happens. The natural inclinations and I have no except embracing everything else. But when you tell me, oh, I don't date black women, I only date white women, that is not natural that you marry to the
right.
white woman. You put yourself in that position to only marry that white woman.
Mm-hmm.
You know what
right.
I'm saying? And it's not honest. It's not pure. It's something
right.
you set in motion. So I don't, you know, and I have no problem telling them, okay, that's what you chose to do. No, it just happened naturally. No, it didn't. You chose to do that. And I'm done with that conversation when it comes to people like that. But I know as I think now, as opposed to when I was coming up, children are a lot more stable in who they are, almost as a whole, unless they just gravitate to that total image of, you know, that same image of all the black, but like as far as we speaking up to them and we teaching them to feel good about themselves and things such as that, I think we're in a better position than we were prior to. But I can also tell you this, we are also in a worse position today than we were before Obama got elected.
Right. Well, we have another caller. 410-497, are you there?
Hi, Miss Delicious. How are you? Hi, ladies
Hi.
And gentlemen. I think I heard a gentleman
Hello.
On there.
Hello, how are you?
Hi.
How are you,
Great.
Jade?
This is Jade. Hi, how are you?
Okay.
I think I'm going to be backpedaling because I'm going to I wanted to – I know that this is about girls, little girls when they were did not like their color. And little black girls did not like their color. And I think that goes
right.
for light skins as well. Because I remember when I was little, I'm light skinned, and I had a my best friend is dark skinned. And there was a time where we used to get teased when we were together because of our complexion. So, and that was really hurtful for both of us. And I remember one time trying to get as dark as her. And I remember her walking up to me and seeing me laying down on the pavement trying to get a tan. And she was like, what are you doing? And I said, I want to be dark like you.
Mm-hmm.
And years later when we grew up and we talked about it and she laughed and joked about what I did, she said, you didn't realize that back then I wanted to be your complexion. And it's funny because you wanted to be mine. So it was almost like we wanted to switch roles. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So I think that sometimes light-skinned people want to be a little darker or want to be darker. I don't even want to say little because, you know, a lot of times the way they're talked about, a lot of times they'll joke and they used to say back in the day, light skin is not in and stuff like that. So, of course, that used to be the ultimate thing. It was the complexion. And back in the day, and y'all can correct me if you feel like I'm wrong, but back in the day, it wasn't so much about the body and the shape and all of that like it is today. It was more mm-hmm. so the complexion that everybody kind of talked about, whether they did not, they were uncomfortable in their skin or just felt uncomfortable around other people who they felt was different than them. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I just thought I'd throw that out there.
Well, yeah, well, there was a famous case here in the 80s, I believe it was, where mm-hmm. there was a black reporter, a very, very prominent. She rose up the ranks very quickly. And I thought the name of it was The Golden Child, was the name of her story. But she worked for the Tribune. And she rose up very quickly in the ranks, was extremely prominent. But outside of her job, she was living in a nightmare because I think she was biracial. And she could not identify with the black people nor the white people. She went through hell. At 30 years old, she committed suicide. And she killed herself. But because of who she was, and when you look back at her history, and when you look back at how this woman fought, and, you know, like, literally got herself to this real high level, she went as probably as high as she could go in the reporting era. But that time, and she said, these people don't accept me. These people don't accept me. Who am I? Where am I at? And she actually did a story on that. And I think, I want to say the week after she did the story, she committed suicide. And it was because of that same, it's because she didn't fit nowhere. She didn't know where she belonged because, like I said, black people didn't accept her, nor did white people. And
wow.
I can tell you right now, I relate to that. I relate to that. And okay. I relate to that because I'm Spanish. Mm-hmm. But I've been raised in Baltimore, Maryland all my life. So it was a different feeling when I would go back home to visit my family. Because, like, the kids did not accept you because they felt like you're from American. You're not one of us. But then you would come here. And my mother is biracial. So I would get here where I'm like, I don't know how I fit in. And I have a son. I have two boys. And one of them will say he's Spanish and he's black. And he will say, I'm black or Rican. That's what he will joke and say. Where my mm-hmm. oldest son will embrace, he just embraces black. He says, I'm black. Bottom line, that's it, you know. And so it's fine with me. You know, I can't say, you know, you are mixed. And now this is what I am. I'm black. My father's black. I'm black. So that's fine with me. But because you have to find your own way. But that
you're breaking up, darling.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. When we feel like neither side wants to deal with you, it is hard.
Yeah, because she said she was one of the ones who kind of because it was a real, they even did a conference here around that particular topic. And I think it was sponsored through the NAACP. I'm not sure. But because of who she was, and she was nationally known and everything such as that, but because of who she was and what her life ended up being, people started looking at the psychological effects that could have, you know, on children, even like growing up and things such as that. Because if I remember correctly, I think she lived for a certain time around only white people, and then when whatever happened, that broke her family apart or whatever the case was, she ended up moving around black people, and she did say that she got it worse from us than she got from them. She said she got it worse on this side, and she, you know, ended up like moving downtown, so she didn't have to deal with either. You know, so, I mean, it was a big, huge, her whole life was circled around that. So I can understand where she's coming from. Now, I have two granddaughters, and one of my granddaughters is biracial, and the other one is African-American. And well, we both know both of them are African American, but one of them is biracial. I told
right.
my son, you just gave birth to a study. Now, you heard this from your mom first, that he needs to plant himself in the middle of those two girls, that had yellow one and that dark skin one, and you need to make them both feel like they can come to you, you're the strongest thing there is, and that they're the most beautiful things on earth. I said, because society is going to do a number on them. And
mm-hmm.
he's starting to see that now. And we were talking about that last week, and he looked at me. And he didn't like when I said that, but it's coming to light in his own accord now. He's starting to see that, and he's trying to already set a plan in place to try to turn that around within those two little girls. And I told him, I said, that's a scary place to be. It is a scary place to be. Because I was told that the little dark one wasn't cute because she...
Dark skin.
Wait a minute, she looks just like me. I'm like, oh, so I'm ugly? And when the person said that to me, they looked, their ass got big, and they said, I said, she looked just like me. And that's when the split started coming in our relationship. And I could see it coming because she started pulling away. Am I embracing her? I'm going to embrace anything that's mad, period.
Wow.
No. But, yeah, it's interesting. When race comes into play, it's very, very interesting. But when certain people, as black people, you can see our race as soon as you look at us. Mm-hmm. And there are certain classifications. They do feel that if you're the darker complexion, you're a harder one to deal with. As a black woman, oh man, we all of us are angry. All of us, these stereotypes are out there that generalize us. And then when people say, they'll sit there and they'll tell you, oh, I didn't know. You know what I thought black women act like? And I asked this one lady, what do black women act like? She said, all the ones I have met, they're just so angry and they're just so mean. And I'm sitting there looking at her, and I know as I'm looking at her, my face is twisting. And that other side of me is coming out. Because I'm sitting there and having this whole conversation in my head. What you talking about? You know, I just know it. And she looked and she said, see, look at your face now. Did I say something to make you mad? And I told her, I said, you know what? No, what you just said was stupid. And she looked at me. And I told her point blank, I had a conversation with a lady that was at a conference, my job. She said, why would you say that? I said, okay, think of all the people of your race that you know. Are you like every last one? Oh, no. And I said, then why would you lump all those together? I said, people are people. She looked at me, and she said point blank, I never looked at it like that. Because she wasn't raised, she don't live around, she don't deal, you know, she don't know about. So you don't lump people together like that. People are people. We got the what they say, the good and the bad, and all.
Yeah.
You know what,
ladies and gentlemen, what's bad is when you see some of these like reality shows and different things like that. They try to depict us to be like they will filter it. And make us look worse than what we are. Now, yes, we do not tolerate a lot of things. So it can bring out the ugly in us sometimes. You know what I mean? We can be real about that. But for sometimes to see how some shows depict us and make us look worse, it's really, I think sometimes that's why people look at us the way that they do, because a lot of times people stereotype us real quick.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah,
they do.
Yeah. Well, you know, I'm just going to say this and then we'll be closing the show. It's sad that the color of your skin defies a person, you know. And if that's, you know, how people think of people, then the people who are thinking that way, they're the people who are really the ones that are hurt and the ones that are bruised, because I'm not going to let anybody defy me because of the color of my skin. And like I said, if you call me outside of my name, I don't even hear you, you know. So hopefully one day, but I really don't see this in this lifetime, you know, everybody coming together, all races coming together like Martin Luther King had wished. I don't think that's going to happen because it's just mm-hmm. been going on for so long. And, you know, we've been held down for so long, and a lot of us are not trying to get up because we're accepting what's going on with us and, you know, saying it's okay. So we're just going to be down. We're not going to ever come together. You know, all the other races, they stick together. They help each other out. You see the Koreans, the Mexicans, the Spanish, they will come over here. 10 of them will live in a one-bedroom apartment and work like slaves until they get what they want. But when we get to where we're going, we can live in a mansion and would not let a family member move in. You know, so we need to change up our thinking of ourselves.
Yes.
We need to stop letting the media portray, the media telling us that we're something that we're not. We have to stop letting people defy our worth, you know, and be about your business when you be about your business. You know, don't be saying the white man's holding me down, this one's holding me down. The only one who's holding you down is yourself. And, excuse me. Excuse me, I'm sorry. But, you know, this, you know, like this has been a very interesting show, and hopefully if nobody, you know, didn't take anything away from it, you know, hopefully you did. And for the other people that called in and made those little crack remarks, you know, keep it moving because you're one of the persons that's probably doing whatever you do or judge people by their color as well. But I just want to say Bring a Sexy Back is for the mature listening audience, and our subject matter is sexual but not limited to other social topics. We discuss relationships, current events, and issues relevant to everyday life, and we appreciate you, our listening audience, for your questions and comments. If you have a topic you'd like for us to discuss or would like to be a guest on the show, send an email to me at gjdelicious37@gmail.com. or to either of my co-hosts, Rhea at RheaAlexis@yahoo.com. That's RheaAlixs@yahoo.com. And Danny at MunchDaMouth@gmail.com. That's Munch, MunchDaMouth@gmail.com. And a subject line, put topic or guest. We're here every Wednesday from 10:30 for an hour or more. Like tonight, we was here for 2 hours. And tune in every Friday of the month for Open Topic. That's every first Friday of the month. And at the last Friday of the month is usually my musical show. And on Sunday at 7 p.m., please stop by Gail's Blues Joint. This Sunday is going to be dedicated to Bobby Blue Bland because, as I had said in the beginning of the show, he passed away Saturday, the 22nd. He was 83 years old. And if you like Bobby Blue Bland, you'll be in for a treat this Sunday at 7 p.m. at Gail's Blues Joint. I'd like to make a shout-out to everybody who's in the chat room, Mr. Talk, Convener Man, Miss Kane, who has a show on Monday and Tuesday at Promotions. Miss Kane, Miss Promotions at 11 p.m. Tammy Joan Gibbs has a show at 1 p.m. every Wednesday. That's entertainment. Vermillion Waves and Jade, who also has a show, Exotic Expressions, every Friday at 9 p.m. Okay, remember, Bringing Sexy Back does not mean you lost your sexy. Bringing Sexy Back is a state of mind and how you perceive yourself. And also remember, it's not what people call you, it's what you answer to. With that being said, I want to say thank you to my co-hosts and to everybody who called in. And everybody have a beautiful evening. Thank you, and good night.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night, everybody.
Blood on the leaves and blood at the root. Black bodies swinging in the southern. from the poplar tree. Pastoral scene of the gallant sound, the bulging eyes and the twisted mouth, scent of magnolia, sweet and fresh. Then the sudden smell of burning flesh. Here is a fruit for the crows to pluck, for the rain to gather, for the wind to suck, for the sun to rise, for the tree to drop. Here is a strange and bitter cry.
Good night, everybody.